Hey guys, this is John Henson. I want to welcome to our podcast listeners on Apple and Spotify and encourage everyone to check us out on YouTube. Today, Tar Heel 24/7 lead recruiting analyst David Sisk is here to share the latest scoop on USC's search for a final big man for his 2026-27 roster, along with some nice high school recruiting intel on what could end up being a special 2027 class for the Tar Heels.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Welcome, this is Tar Heel 24/7, a UNC basketball podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to Tar Heel 24/7 on YouTube and on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Got a special guest today, the Tar Heel 24/7 lead recruiting analyst, David Sisk. Thanks for coming on today.
Without a hitch, right?
Yeah, look, it happens, right? Bigger picture, before we get into the UNC thing, just to get things rolling, what has this rule done to schools and just how things are being handled now? I mean, even with the high school kids, right, that you got this influx of players now in the portal, maybe in the portal, maybe going to play, maybe not going to play. What's your take on that?
I think each program, each coaching staff is kind of playing it by ear and doing it individually. I know of another program in the ACC outside of North Carolina who is they haven't been touching it. Now, it may change after Tuesday's rulings, but up to Tuesday, they weren't touching it because the way they read the ruling was the only fifth-year players that were able to come back and play were the ones in that program. Like, let's say, for example, a Seth Trimble coming back to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't deal with it. There's some others that are all go. There's others that are tentative. And I said the way that I would treat it is I think it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. So if you go in and, man, you've got to be, you know this, you've got to be aggressive recruiting. So if you go in and let's say you get a player, let's say to commit this week, and then you've got another 10 days or so, or a little bit more than that before class starts, and the NCAA comes back and say, no, these players are not eligible. Well, you've really not lost anything. You're in the same shape you're in. You don't want to mess your locker room up and things like that, but I don't think if they told you right before school started, hey, it's null and void, it's going to really mess you up. So I would just go about it till I was told differently.
Listen, I came in, we had Deion Thompson, Ed Davis, lottery pick. Ware twins were five-star guys. Tyler Zeller also was a five-star guy, lottery guy. So look, it is what it is. Whatever you're bringing in, look, it's a wild time. I mean, literally everyone reading this and I'm just like, I am just baffled at one, how many kids are trying to get – yes, I understand you're going to make the money, but, you know, my opinion is, like, at some point, man, like, it's just time to move forward. And I understand you want to get back, but, I know of a kid that used litigation, right, to get the rule, you know, to hire a lawyer. The lawyer says, okay, well, shoot, if I get things rolling and get you going, I get 20% of your NIL. And then, you know – with an agent, right? So now he's giving up 30 to 40% of his NIL before he steps on the court. So it's what a time to be alive.
And that brings, John, that brings up another thing here. And that is if the Protect College Sports Act passes, from what I understand, the agent's fee is going to be 5% at the most. It's going to get cut down. So then now you can't do that. I know there's a college coach famous, and everybody knows him. And he said that in a conversation that he would not go into this portal here because he's done got his roster complete, And if there was a better player out there, he would have to get rid of somebody on his roster. Mm-hmm. And he did not want that tied around his waist, reputation-wise, that he wasn't going to be loyal to his players or he was going to lie to his players. And I said, well, you've got an international player on your roster. What if he gets found ineligible and or he can't get, you know, passed mm-hmm. in time? And he said, well, then I'm going to go into the board and get a player. So, you know, that's just kind of where it stands. But like I said, I think it's a mess. I think anybody that tells you, hey, I know exactly what's going on, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. And we don't know, man. We just don't. Yeah. So I feel like you just got to play it by ear. You do. And just however you're led to do. I just know this, too. The NCAA's track record's horrible. Horrible yeah. in court. So I would take that into account, too. Yeah, you really think the NCAA is going to win in court?
Yeah, and there's so many kids fight. I mean, it's at some point you've just got to kind of let a dead dog lie and let the kids play. And that kind of leads us into, you know, UNC, since it's a Tar Heel podcast. Obviously, I think the focal point, the weak point of this team is the big man situation, right? And it's fascinating kind of how some teams have handled, right? Like there's some teams that have actually kept up on the roster spot, maybe thinking that this could happen, right? And so, you know, UNC has reached out to some bigs. Kind of, what do you think about what they're doing on the recruiting trail, and have you heard anything of substance?
Yeah. First thing, let me say this and just clear it out of the way, and I put it on the board, message board here before we came on, and I saw a report on Twitter a little while ago that said that if you sign Exhibit 10, you aren't included in this. So you're not going to get eligibility. And one of the names they mentioned was Micah Henglott. And you can pull up, you can Google it, Michael Henglott Exhibit 10, Summer League, whatever, and you're going to see headlines on there from news outlets in the state of Florida, and I think maybe even some of inside the NBA, that he signed an Exhibit 10, which would make him ineligible. His agent swears up and down, told me over the weekend he has not signed an Exhibit 10. And I went, whoa, that's news, because it's been everywhere else. You can read the headlines. So you got to do is Google. And he swears it's not happened. So if that's the case, you know, he's still in play. Cameron Finns, Duke Brennan, I like all three of these guys. If you'll notice, all three are bigger bodies, bangers. And that's been kind of the thing. You look at this roster going forward as is. I don't know what Keita's weight is listed right now, but they're lean, they're long, more athletic. I think Cade Bennerman was listed at 205 last year. And then you go down to Samo. Samo's a four.
Yep.
And you go to, you know, Jaron. You know, Jaron doesn't have the body for the five. So they've just really – they don't have anybody in there to move furniture. So that's what they're looking for, and all three of these guys have that. As far as the players go, I think it's kind of a wait and see. There's some reports maybe that they've moved on, but I believe it's just kind of cooled off a little bit with Henglott, and I think they want to see what they can get elsewhere, because the thing is, North Carolina, they don't have much money at all left. They sort of spend about everything. And then people will get upset and say, well, why are they spending everything? And then somebody else will say, why are they getting nickel and dime? Well, neither one of them is really true. You don't know that this is going to happen. You're trying to put your roster together. You know, you get around a $19 million budget. They've spent it, and they're certainly not being nickel and dimed of a $19 million budget. It's just this fell out of the sky very late in the game. We've never had this happen in August. So you've got – Micah there, who's maybe shopping around and may not like the way – be totally comfortable, I should say, with the money situation. You've got Cameron Finns out of South Dakota, and I'm told by a staff member inside the North Carolina coaching staff that there's a lot more to it than kicking the tires. And then you've got Duke Brennan here. I think Duke Brennan – average a double-double in the Big East last year, probably command some money from teams that have it. But the same thing I said yesterday to Andrew Jones, and that is, I guarantee you all nine teams on his list of finalists, there are quite a few of them in the same boat North Carolina's in. They don't all have money. And that's one thing you're running into now. North Carolina's got a spot. They don't have money. You'll find some schools, I don't think there's many, that have both. And then you may have somebody, they've got money and they don't have a spot. So that's kind of where it stands right now.
Yeah, it's super interesting because, you know, if you don't have money, you know, kids, do they want to go back? And, you know, even with the hand gliding in Exhibit 10, you know, it could be, I mean, it's such a slippery slope because
Technically speaking,
it's unguaranteed minimum. They could cut you at training camp. So technically speaking, did you sign the NBA? Yeah, you know, it's but as far as players, I love Duke Brennan. I watched some Finns clips, big body bruiser, kind of a guy that's improved over the years. So if you had to kind of pick a guy that is going to potentially commit if Carolina can get, who do you think is kind of the leader in the clubhouse?
If I had to pick one that I would like, in a perfect world, I think it'd be Duke Brennan. But, I mean, you can look at his BPR numbers and all that from like people like Evan Mayakawa, and it's him. There were only two players, and that's really your value, what that rating is your value to the team. There were only two players on North Carolina's roster last year that had a higher BPR than him, and that was, you can guess who they are, Caleb Wilson and Henry Vassar. And then I think Jaren Stevenson was next, like 4 point something, and so you got Duke with like 6.4 or whatever. So that kind of tells you where he's at. But like I said, that may be the least likely. It just sounds to me like maybe there's something there with Finns. Because like I said, an individual I talked to inside the program, they're pretty cautious. And the answer you get back a lot of times is we're working on it. But this answer was, man, there's more to it than kicking the tires. So now I spoke to his agent over the weekend, and you know how this works, and I'll let you pontificate on it when I get done here. I'm going to get your opinion. So I talked to the agent on Saturday, very helpful, wanted to make sure the wording was right. Man, I appreciate you. I'll work with you. That's what he's telling me. I can't wait to get in contact with you. I hope we'll see what this happens out of this. And now you get in four or five days later, whatever. And you, it's all, it's ghost. They've gone dark on that side. You don't hear anything. That usually tells me there's something in the works. May not be with North Carolina, may be with somebody else. But I think a lot of times, once you get into the negotiation part of it, if things start getting close, they you don't hear anything. It's totally quiet on the other end. So I think there's something brewing with him somewhere. And like I said, that doesn't mean it's North Carolina, but I think something's brewing there.
Yeah, and you figure, I mean, you think from a value perspective, right? You've got a guy that double-doubled in the Big East and a national champion that is a pro. He's probably the best bang for your buck if you don't have a lot of money. I'd imagine he's going to get a lot of attention. So
I'll tell you this, too. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'll tell you this. And you know this a lot. So I'll have people that'll DM me, that'll text me and ask questions about this. And they think that, well, what are the coaches saying? And people don't understand. The coaches don't want the public, or not necessarily the public. They don't want these other teams to know. So they don't want this stuff getting out a lot of times. They don't, let's say if it's North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, I'm just naming three schools. North Carolina doesn't want Bill Self and Mark Pope to know what they're doing, and vice versa. So that's why it can be quiet. And then that is passed along to the other side, and everybody gets quiet because you really want this thing to be hushed. If North Carolina's warm with him, they don't want other people to know it.
So are you telling me that there's smoke screens being sent out right now for
sure? You don't believe that, do you?
I mean, surely. I'm just saying. There's smoke screens. Are we saying Finns is the guy? Get everybody excited and leaning over there. Boom. No. But
no, like I said, it may not be North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It may be with somebody else. But I'm gonna say this: of the three, My hunch is that may be the most likely, because I think if hand glotting was going to happen, man, I mean, this thing was on a stove like 2 weeks ago. I mean, it was on fire. That you know, as soon as the ruling came, it may not have been 2 weeks ago, but it seems like it. But whenever the ruling came down initially about the 5 for 5, and you got to remember, back in the portal, it was red hot. You heard all this talk back in May. And then they go to the G League, or excuse me, to the Summer League, and you're like, well, he's playing in the summer, then he's done with college basketball, and then the name comes back up. Like I said, there was a ton of smoke around him, and it's just kind of – now, it could come back. But I think if you look at the one that makes sense, maybe it doesn't with him. But it just seems to me like Fins is just kind of the guy that might be the most likely. I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, before we kind of move on to the high school recruiting, I think from a team standpoint, if Carolina can figure out a way to get a guy that I like that term to say can move furniture, I think it changes the dynamic of this team because you know, to win college basketball, as you saw this year, you need some furniture movers, multiple, to be honest.
Yeah. Let me run this one by you. Mm-hmm. I think if the guy's good enough, I think any one of those three might have the opportunity to start.
Okay.
And at the five, because I know we're looking at Keita, but I look at Keita as more as a guy that second year that's really going to take off. You know, he's later getting in. He's only 18 years old. So it's like signing a high school post. His body's still got to develop. He's got to get used to the game. He's coming over here late. He doesn't speak the language. And now you've got a fifth-year guy. Evan Mayakawa had a great tweet a couple days ago that the average 100th ranked senior is equivalent to the number 10 high school player. And number 10 high school player is going to be a five-star. So what do you get that first year from those kind of guys? Really the equivalent of the number 100 senior. So, you know, you can kind of do the math on that one. So I would think, you know, whatever you get a fifth-year guy, they're accomplished, and, you know, they could give you more than just – depth and mop-up time.
Oh, yeah. No, I think whoever we get is going to be a penciled-in day one guy. It's necessary. So, look, speaking of high school, let's move on kind of. UNC's in the mix for several names in the – top names in the 2027 class, including North Carolina native C.J. Rosser, DeMarcus Henry, Jordan Page. What's UNC's involvement? I was in Vegas, so I got to see some of these guys play, and I saw Sean May at the game, spoke with him. So – kind of what's the, you know, update on the UNC's involvement with these guys?
I would say if there were two guys right now that you said, who would you feel best about North Carolina? It would be C.J. Rosser and DeMarcus Henry. Rosser, when Malone got the job, he had someone very knowledgeable. He asked him, he said, what are the steps that I need to do? What do you think is the wise thing to do? And an individual that had his ear said, man, you've got to, C.J. Rosser, you've got to let him know. So you've got an in-state guy who's one of the top 1, 2, 3 players in America, five-star. You've got to you really solidify if you get a guy like that. Because I think if a new guy comes in and you have a guy like that who was raised up just down the road, you can't get him, it's kind of a PR hit. But also, you need a guy like that to come in. And so you've got him. And then DeMarcus Henry, Malone might as well have put a jersey on for Vegas Elite over the spring and summer, because, man, he didn't miss a dribble. Mm-hmm. And so he knew he had to get on Rosser, and then he was enamored with DeMarcus Henry once he saw him. And you know, they're originally from Charlotte. I've heard from people that there's a very good possibility that the family could move back this direction, even back to North Carolina later on. Probably doesn't have anything to do with the recruitment, but it's not like he's a West Coast kid out there and that's what he's always been and that's what he'll always be. And they really like Malone. They know Malone, how much work he's followed him everywhere. He went to Section 7. He went to Team USA. He's going to Vegas Elite. Wherever he can get out on the road, that guy's been a priority for him.
Yeah. Great head of hair too, by the way. But yeah, I see, and this is not necessarily discredit Coach Davis' tenure, but I just see them a lot more in a lot of places. And you know, I just see them that Carolina blue shirt with sitting with some of the, like, you know, the roster. I watched them play in Vegas. I mean, the potential is oozing. And
yeah,
you know, it's been a while since Carolina got a North Carolina guy, top North Carolina guy, local guy. So hopefully that's what they're trying to do. And, you know, maybe take some guys from Duke, man. Duke's got enough over there, man.
Well, you know, Jordan Page is another one in the state, and you really don't know. You don't get that feel yet. I think North Carolina's right there. I think North Carolina State's pitched in, and you hear maybe a couple other schools, some blue blood types. So you get a good feeling about him, but not the feeling that you get about maybe Rosser and Henry. So then I would put him in that tier 1B. He'd probably be the next one, you know. And it doesn't hurt. You hope that for a player like that, if you really want him, and you go head-to-head North Carolina State, you'll be able to pull that one.
Yeah, tell him to spend a week with me. He'll never go back to NC State. So, look, what can you tell us about UNC search for a big man in the 2027 class? Any names sticking out? Anybody on the radar?
Yeah, Wobbington. So, Paul Osorui, that was like the first one. And, man, he's so up and down. He shows potential, but he's one of those who can drop his head. The intensity can go way down. I think when Malone and staff first got to see him, they watched him play in Memphis, and he had the best game he played all summer. Then they went back to Peach Jam and watched him. I watched him the night before that the coaches could get out on the road. They came at him on Thursday. Peach Jam started on Tuesday. I watched him Tuesday and Wednesday. So Wednesday night game, the best I've ever seen him. Absolutely the best I've ever seen him. And he comes back that next Thursday. Coaches are out on the road. He lays an egg. It's one thing to not play well, but then you begin to drop your head and sulk a little bit. That's not what coaches want to see. The staff took notice of that. And I've heard that they kind of maybe cooled a little bit. I don't know, but I know that they weren't happy with that. And then you hear that some of the visits that he wants to take, he still wants to take one to North Carolina. We'll see. But then Wobbington kind of stepped in, Darius Wobbington. Yep. He is a guy, if you look at what, and I think he's going to do Malone a lot of stuff he did in the NBA. I think he wants to run Zoom, depending on what the big can do. There may be pistol stuff, but he wants his big to be able to initiate the offense out front like Joker did. You've got to be able to reverse the ball side to side, handle pass, do all those things. It's kind of like a new age big. We saw what Joker did. Wobbington is the high school version of that. And so it would be a wonderful fit. He's going to have Kentucky after him. Pope kind of does some of the same stuff, but he's going to be hard to get out of Arizona. A lot of people think Arizona is the lead for him because that's where he's at, lives in Phoenix. That may be tough. And then you want to see guys like Jan Camigotti, who is moving up to class of 2027, knows nothing about college basketball. Incredible low post player. I think he will be very potentially. Hasn't played a long time, knows nothing about the game, about the recruiting game. And also Luis Uvo is kind of like that. Luis Uvo, people that I trust tell me he's the best rim protector, shot blocker they've seen in 20 years. Luis Uvo's AAU coach told me initially during a live period, they told him John Calipari was going to come out to see him. And he says, "Who's John Calipari?" So he doesn't know anything about it. So a lot of these guys, the recruitment's new.
I saw Camigotti play. I just looked him up. I know exactly who that is. His presence is was kind of what caught. I was walking out of the gym, and one of my guys, who's the NIL guy, I was like, "Who is that?" And yeah, he's that's a guy. That's a guy.
Yeah.
So.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, and a lot of people think he's top two or three players in the high school basketball, regardless of class. Yep. So they're there. There's no doubt they're there. But I think the thing with big men, too, I think even more so than guards, because I think guards can come out of high school and kind of matriculate into the game quicker because of size, strength, all that. You know, if you don't get them, you can always get into that portal, man, and get you, like I said, get you a seasoned, successful player. So I don't worry about that quite as much as I would have at one point, because now the portal's there.
I'm looking at an article. The best unranked high school player ever, Jan Kamakai. So, hey, so I'm about to check him out a little more. So, kind of moving on, class of 2028, number one player, AJ Williams, who I also saw play in Vegas. I think he was the one player that stood out to me on that main court. He was actually playing CJ Rosser. And it was packed. I was at that game, literally. That's maybe not that game. He had braids, I believe. But, I mean, his aura, how he plays a game, I mean, right away my eyes kind of locked in on him. I obviously asked who was he and was told promptly that he's one of the top guys in his class. So what can you tell about the recruitment? Is UNC involved with him or, you know, some of the players? Who are some of the players in his recruitment, per se?
He's one of those that will go wherever he wants to. It's like he can select it. He will, you know, you're going to have Duke. You're going to have all the blue bloods, you know, all the elite. Now, here BYU is really going to get in because they want to play that Atlanta connection on the coaching staff. So Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, you know, the big boys. Yep. I really like his mid-range game. He was the toughest shot maker.
Yes.
Man, he could get mid-range to about 15 feet and have guys hanging all over him. I tell you what it reminded me of, and I don't want to compare these players to all greats, okay? I don't think you do anybody any favors by doing that. But Paul Pierce used to be, when he played, you know what he did. He got to the elbows to about 15 feet, and he pulled up, and it was like a layup. You know, he'd get the ball, and his thing was, how can I get to the left elbow? If I get to the left elbow, it's over because I'm going to score him right there. That's kind of like he is. If I can get to this dribble and get to your shoulder at 15 feet, I'm going to pull up, and I don't care how much you bump me, how much you hang on me, I'm going to make a shot. So, really, I was really impressed. Versatility, good body, but very impressed, you know, from two levels, but specifically mid-range. Let me ask you this. You watched him.
Yep.
Do you feel like I didn't see him go by a lot of people. Do you feel like he's got that level, or do you feel like he's so good in that mid-range he just goes there?
He's capable. He was getting to wherever he wanted, any shot he wanted. And so that's kind of what I saw. Now, you know, his game was definitely more kind of pull up, mid-range, hit a couple threes. Yeah. But he did get to the rack kind of at will. It's almost like he's more comfortable with maybe just pulling up from mid-range or even just kind of like stopping in that mid-post area, floating or, you know, stuff like that. So, like I said, I walked up on the game and CJ Rosser stood out, obviously, and then he was probably – that game was the best player. So
– I would like to see Rosser – get off the three-point line a little bit more.
Get his hands dirty.
That's the difference to me and him right now. I mean, him and Marcus Spears. junior to me, because they were the ones that are always compared. They were similar size. Marcus Spears does a lot of work down in the paint, and he gets his hands dirty. And he, Rosser kind of put me in mind of a much higher ceiling Jaren Stevenson in this way. You look at Jaren Stevenson's numbers last year, he shot 29% from three. He shot 72% from two. And half his shots were from threes. Well, guess what? If you're the new coach, and I think it's going to help Jaren to get down to the four. And I understand last year you had two great players down in the block, so he's outside the three-point line. I think he's a different player when you get him in the lane and do that. I think C.J. Rosser's got to become that guy that he really kind of takes it over down in there, and then he can step it out and go inside, outside. Now, I think you got a different player.
Yeah, I mean, he took a lot of – I mean, he hit some threes now. Don't get twisted now. He hit some shots, but he definitely took a lot of jumpers and, you know, settled. And when I say settled, I don't want to call it settling, because he could get whatever shot he wanted out there, if that makes – like, he just kind of, look, this – I'm tall and I'm athletic and I can hit this shot. I'm just going to shoot over you. And that's that was just kind of what he did out there. So, it's interesting to see his trajectory. Him and A.J. Williams, I mean, like I said, A.J. Williams really stood out to me. I mean, it's great. He looked like – when anybody told me he was a year younger than everyone out there, that really kind of messed me up a little bit. So, we'll see if Carolina can hop in on this. I think this year – and, you know, I'll get your opinion on this. I think this year's style of play and what Carolina does, how their coach is going to be – I mean, I think monumental.
Everybody's watching.
Yeah, monumental to, okay, if you play a good style, a good brand of basketball, who gets featured? What's the offense like? If it's a fun brand, a fun winning style of basketball offensive and a pro style, I think that next year they're going to be able to pick them who they want. So,
and I think a lot of players too, the top players, they can wait. You know, and I know – probably when you sign, I would say 95% of the guys went, they were gone by early signing period. I mean, it was done by early signing period. And now, especially with the transfer portal being like it is, you know, you don't know what the rosters are going to look like now, where you used to know, even in the fall. So they want to watch that, but now they also want to say, okay, I want to watch them play. And so you've got all that. And so you're going to have guys making their minds up really during the season and toward the end of the season, because they're going to know, A, what the roster looks like, and then B, they're going to know what the playing styles are like.
Listen, I missed the time. Look, I committed my junior year, and that parade of just, oh, he's going to Carolina, or I'm going to Carolina, and just, or like just seeing guys like, oh, he's going to Duke, he's going to Kansas. Those were the good times. Now it's we don't know where he's going, wherever that money's going. So, look.
I talked to Chris Paul and I'm sorry. I talked to Chris Paul and Bradley Beal both and asked, how's this going to translate? How's his game going to translate, coaching and all that? And college said, look, he's going to be great. Bradley Beal told me, he said he was one of the top three, four offensive coaches, not the best offensive coach in the league. He says he'll do the same stuff. And he said it'll work. So, I mean, glowing responses from great players.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. Look, thank you for coming on. This was a dope episode to just get into the mix of what UNC's got, the recruiting. So thank you so much for coming on, and I appreciate everything you've kind of contributed.
Man, I'm happy to be on here with you because, no, I mean, John Henson, you're dang right I want to be on with John Henson. Nobody knows who I am. They're like, who's that dope old John Henson, man? But I appreciate you having me on here. It's an honor. It really is. I'm also saying that. I appreciate you having me here. Even though I didn't think we were ever going to get on here earlier today, but I appreciate you having me.
Listen, I'm retired. This is what I do. I'm a media guy. I have nothing but time. So I appreciate you taking the time, and we figured it out. So thank you, man.
Thank you.
For fans of this pod, we've got a special treat. Use our new code J860. That's my initials. Kind of feel kind of special. On the bottom of your screen to get 60% off annual subscription, Target 24/7. Don't miss out on the latest team practice and recruiting intel. Drop daily J860. And as always, thanks for watching on YouTube and listening to wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to check out Target247.com for the latest wall-to-wall coverage of Carolina Athletics. See you next time.